What's up, everybody? This is Andrew Erickson here from the Full Press Coverage Fantasy Football Podcast. I am here today continuing my 32 days and 32 teams segmentation for fantasy football, and we have a special guest on today's show a little bit later on today. We're going to be talking about the Indianapolis Colts. I'm actually joined by a Colts fan himself, Dylan Brody, or he will introduce himself once his part gets on the line. But essentially, and I think that's him right now. So let's get our guest on the show. Dylan, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing?
What's up, Dylan? So we're on the show now, and like I said, my name is Andrew Erickson. And I'm joined by Dylan. Is Brody? Brody, is that your last name? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, it is.
All right. So, Dylan, say hi to the people and tell them why you're a Colts fan.
Hey, everybody. I'm from Indiana, so it's just kind of one of those things. You know, it's a hometown team. Peyton Manning pretty much made this place. So, growing up with Peyton, it was just got Hoosier hysteria for the Colts, and just been a fan ever since I can remember. My first poster I ever had was a Jim Harbaugh poster, believe it or not. So it's just kind of one of those things around here.
All right, that's good to hear. I mean, I'm a Patriots fan, so we definitely have some discrepancies between a couple different things. You know, there's a little bit of history between the two teams, but we'll strictly stick to fantasy here and not, go to, Peyton versus Brady. You know, we could debate all day. That's for another show. That's for another show. So we're going to talk about the Colts. And they played last night. And I guess I'll start with you, Dylan. Saw a couple different things about, I guess we'll start at the quarterback position. So, Luck. So, obviously, tons of surrounding him with his shoulder injury. He's coming back to play. What are you thinking? So what do you think about him as a, quarterback going into 2018? And, where do you have confidence, taking him in fantasy drafts?
I have a ton of confidence. I love his current ADP. Right now, in a lot of mock drafts that I've done, and I do them on Yahoo and ESPN, he's going around, I'd say, 9th to 12th round. And I will take that value with him all day long. I'm one of those guys that I like to take quarterbacks later. So right now, for me, he's a definite bargain. I was happy to see last night that he got hit a lot, and he got right back up, and I'm glad that they kept him in for – the first half. That was, I think that's a good thing. He threw that interception, but, he hasn't played for a couple of years. So I really believe in the coaching staff. I'm actually really glad that we hired Frank Reich instead of Josh McDaniels for obvious rivalry reasons.
Me too.
But, yeah, I think he looks good. He seems, he said after the game that, the positives for him was that he got hit and he got sacked and fell on the injury and that, everything felt okay afterwards. And I truly believe that after week three of the preseason, where we see the starters play most of the game, that we'll see a more polished Andrew Luck, one that we'll probably see more of during the season.
Yeah, no, I get that feeling from him as well. It's good to see him get back up. But the one thing that I did notice, and listening to a couple other people talk about it, is his attempted throws. He has not attempted a pass, at least from my knowledge, he's not attempted a pass over 20 yards so far in the preseason. A lot of dink and dunk stuff. T.Y. Hilton didn't play last night, so I could see the argument being that, hey, my deep threat's not on there, but does it concern you at all that he's not throwing deep, really, at all?
I've, maybe just the slightest bit of concern. And the only reason being is the amount of rust that he might have on his throwing shoulder. So to me, I think what they're probably doing is just trying to get his arm going again. Maybe the dink and dunk stuff is what they want to do to try to get him in rhythm again, get his arm going. And then hopefully next week we see more of like the bigger long plays, you know, to T.Y. Hilton. I'm really looking forward to next week, though, to really evaluate him fully. Because, you know, the first two preseason games, I feel like it's more, you know, for the starters, it's real ginger stuff anyway. You know, they're just going out there getting their bodies back going, getting hits. So I'm not really concerned personally, maybe just a little bit, but not as much as I was about 2 months ago. 2 months ago, there was a lot of talk around here about him not being able to throw more than 20 yards. And, you know, in practice, he wasn't, you know, throwing a whole lot. And then, you know, these videos of him in camp, of him throwing these bombs and doing some of the things that he did back before this injury. So I'm looking forward, to see him play next week, and hopefully we see some of that. That way the guys who want to draft him in their leagues feel more confident that they're getting a good value, like I said before, in the 9th to 12th round with him.
Yeah, and for Andrew Luck, you know, his correlation, him being on the field, him being healthy, totally ties in with T.Y. Hilton. Interesting stat about T.Y. Hilton with and without Andrew Luck. With Landry Luck, T.Y. Hilton averages about 15.1 fantasy points per game. Hilton without Andrew Luck, 11.3 fantasy points per game. So a significant drop off in fantasy points production from T.Y. when Luck's not on the field, and it makes sense. I mean, Luck's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. He's a top quarterback, and, you know, with T.Y. and even with Jacoby Brissett last year, who, you know, I mean, as a Colts fan, I think you could probably say, I mean, I don't think he was, for what he had to work with last year, I think that he did okay.
I absolutely agree. I was really impressed with Brissett. There's one game that stands out to me that might shock some other people is I watched the Seahawks game from last season, and I just really wanted to see what he was going to do against a defense that, you know, was formerly called the Legion of Boom. And I feel like he came into that game really confident. And so far throughout the preseason, I think Brissett's done a pretty good job. You know, last night he had 188 total yards. You know, he looked a lot better last night than what he did in week one. I was actually more impressed with Philip Walker in week one than I was Brissett, even though Walker got to play against the third string defense. But I, you know, if Luck goes down again, I don't have any issues with, you know, Brissett being in there. I think he's proven that he can carry the team if he needs to.
Exactly. And it's funny because last year, you know, some more stats about the Colts. So the Colts last season were the only team in the last 27 years to lose at least 7 games they led at halftime. Also, they had the lead, and I'm sure that, Dylan, you're probably pretty aware of this. So the Colts had the lead in 9 of their games going into the fourth quarter last season. So a lot of it was about the play calling and how they finished games, because from like a efficiency standpoint, the first 3 quarters, Colts were not really a bad team last year. It had a lot to do with play calling and overall bad coaching. And I think they, you know, hit the jackpot with Frank Reich. And I think that you're going to definitely see a big impact, especially offensively, with certain play calls, and using kind of players more in roles that are fit to what they actually can do, as opposed to kind of all over the place. So I think a particular play. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, with Frank Reich, he was a quarterback. He's a quarterback's guy, and I know Luck is really excited about having a offensive-minded coach coming in, you know, with Pagano. I hate to say this, but, you know, around here it's known that he was pretty much kept on over Bruce Arians because of what he went through. It was more of like a, hey, we're going to keep you on because you battled through this, you know, and you were, you know, we hired you when, you know, before you had this condition and whatnot. But I personally am happy to see a offensive minded coach, and I know Luck is, and Reich is also from the Dungy Tree. So I think I can speak for a lot of Colts fans. We're happy to have someone back in the building from the Dungy Tree, because, you know, we all know how much he accomplished for us here in his time.
Yep, and another guy that's very accomplished, or at least was last year, was tight end Jack Doyle. You know, 80 receptions last season, and, you know, Frank Reich's obviously coming from a tree where the tight end is heavily used. We saw last year with Zach Ertz, you know, very, very high production standpoint from the tight end position. So the Colts have Jack Doyle. They have Eric Ebron. So far, it's been the Jack Doyle show in the preseason. Andrew Luck's been targeting him a lot. He's been playing on the majority of the snaps over Eric Ebron. Do you think that Jack Doyle can repeat what he did last year, essentially, you know, with, you know, finishing as a top tight end? Or do you think that Ebron is going to become more involved as we get into the season?
That's a really interesting battle there, because right now it's going to be the Jack Doyle show. I mean, Andrew Luck has chemistry with him. Obviously, Brissett also has, you know, he kind of used him as that safety valve that a lot of young quarterbacks use in their tight ends. I don't know how much use Ebron's going to get. I was hoping to see more of him just to see how he kind of fits in, you know, with the Colts and Andrew Luck. Not taking anything away from Stafford. I think Stafford is a great quarterback over in Detroit where Ebron was. But I would personally like to see them use Ebron more in the preseason than Doyle, because if Doyle's going to be the main guy, I don't want to see him have a possible preseason injury. But I think he's a great fantasy asset. Stats-wise, I'm not sure if I see him getting 80 receptions again. Once again, I think that was more of a outlier of them having Brissett in and him using Doyle as kind of his, you know, safety valve go-to guy in, you know, pressure situations. I see more of like a 65 to 70 receptions for him, which is not that big of a drop off, but I think Ebron will play a role at some point in the season if they can figure out how to utilize him properly and get him involved.
Yeah, I definitely hear you there. Another stat about Jack Doyle. So, and kind of tying in again, you know, with similar to Zach Ertz. So last season, only Zach Ertz was targeted more times than Jack Doyle on passes within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. You know, that was a 54% success rate. Third best in the NFL was Jack Doyle within that 15-yard, you know, that 15-yard realm. And if what we kind of see with Andrew Luck, and they kind of are developing a more of a short passing game, then, I mean, it seems like it's all, you know, all things are good to go for Jack Doyle to have another breakout year and repeat what he did from last year, especially based on the fact that, you know, inside 15 yards, Eric Ebron last season with Detroit had a 41% success rate. So that was one of the, you know, significantly, you know, a significant decrease from the from Jack Doyle's 59% success rate, which was third best in the NFL at that time. But, you know, who wants to talk about tight ends? Seriously, this is fantasy. This is fantasy, Dylan, and we want to talk about the running back position. So you got to tell me, is it going to be Marlon Mack by default because everyone just keeps fumbling the ball?
You know, Marlon Mack is the better talent.
Agreed.
With or without, you know, Hines or Wilkins having their fumbling issues. The very first preseason game against Seattle, I saw that chemistry between him and Luck, and like you said, he's doing a lot of dump offs, and you know, he took a 15-yard swing pass, and then you know, he pulled a hammy or had some hammy soreness or whatever, so they're being really cautious with him. But I honestly believe that it's Marlon Mack's job to lose, and if I had to pick between Hines and Wilkins, I personally would go Wilkins. I think he's the more polished back between the two. I think Hines has a lot more hype and not as much talent. And I'm not saying that he can't develop into something, but right now I just see Hines as kind of like the odd man. You know, he's kind of like the guy looking in. If Mack is down for a considerable amount of time, I would think they'd put Wilkins in there. But in my mind, it's definitely Mack's job to lose. I think he did a pretty decent job last year with Frank Gore being here. And Frank Gore's production is going to be missed. You know, even though he was an older back, you know, he was very good for, you know, his 900 yards, you know, 5 or 6 touchdowns, even at being like an older running back. So I saw from the first preseason game that Mack was out there with the first team, and I think once he's healthy, he will start week one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all hoping for, is his health of Marlon Mack. I definitely think that he has the potential. He's going right now as the RB35, you know, in drafts because of, you know, uncertainty surrounding the Colts. But, I mean, if Andrew Luck is all good to go, I mean, all these Colts players are going to get a bump up in production. Marlon Mack, if he's healthy, will 100% surpass that RB35 ADP. I mean, if he's healthy and he's the starting running back in Indianapolis, I can't see him finishing outside anywhere, you know, outside the top 24. He'll definitely finish as at least an RB2 if he is the, you know, kind of go-to guy in the Colts offense at the running back position. But it'll be interesting to see. I agree. I think Wilkins is kind of that, like, dark horse, you know, that kind of late-round running back that could eventually, you know, have a positive impact in fantasy drafts later on. I actually have a dynasty team where I have Marlon Mack, I have Nyheim Hines, and I have Jordan Wilkins, and it is killing me every time there's another running back from the Colts that, you know, oh, Robert Turbin, oh, Christian Michael, and it's just killing me because I'm like, I can't have 6 roster spots on my dynasty team that are all Colts running backs. I can't do that.
Yeah. I with Robert and Christian Michael, I honestly wouldn't put much fantasy stock into them. You know, I really do believe that the Colts are, you know, leaning Mack, then Wilkins, and then Hines. I think everyone wants Hines to be that guy. I'm just not sure he's quite there yet. I think in the long run, Hines could take over Wilkins, but I just don't see him taking over Mack. Mack is, you know, he's one of those fancy running backs that we all love that can catch the ball. He can run the ball. You know, he can run between the tackles. He can, you know, he can run the out routes. You know, he can catch it. He can, you know, I just see him. Hopefully he's going to be fully healthy for week one. But I just personally don't see Hines as being any – I mean, maybe like in a dynasty – like you said, you have him like in a dynasty league. I can see him maybe in a couple of years being someone to have, but right now I think he's just a little too raw.
Yep. And we're going to finish up with one more question here. Wide receivers. So T.Y. is the number one. So Dylan, are you team Ryan Grant or are you team Chester Rogers?
Oh, I am team Chester Rogers myself.
All righty, perfect. All right, why Chester Rogers over Ryan Grant?
I, like I said before, preseason, I kind of have to take with a grain of salt on a lot of things. But from what I've seen doing the eye test, Chester Rogers to me is I think he's an amazing athlete. And, you know, he's a type of receiver that Luck likes. I see Chester Rogers taking over that two spot on the offense for sure. I don't have any doubts in my mind. He just, you know, he can do anything. I see him catch it in traffic, catch it, you know, slants, outside. I'm definitely Team Rogers.
All right. There you have it, folks. Chester Rogers over Ryan Grant. Interestingly enough, you know, looking at Chester Rogers on playerprofiler.com, so his best comparable player is Kerry Taylor, who I have never heard of before. I have no idea who that is. And then looking at Ryan Grant's best comparable player is Marcus Harris. So, I mean, these guys are definitely a little bit more unknown, especially, you know, I mean, Chester Rogers was undrafted, and you had Ryan Grant, you know, was a fifth-round pick. So it will be interesting to see, but I think that, you know, whoever does emerge as number two definitely is going to have – it could have some fantasy value.
Well, you know, I like to compare Chester Rogers and Ryan Grant to Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders back in 2010 with the Steelers. You know, back then Sanders was, you know, he was the one that everybody was talking about, you know, being Ben's new number one wide receiver when Hines Ward, you know, left and all that. And then all of a sudden AB comes out of nowhere. And honestly, for me, I see Chester Rogers as more of a Antonio Brown than a Emmanuel Sanders. I see Ryan Grant being able to do what Dante Moncrief did, which is if you need to stretch the field and get a big play. But for me, I like the guys like Chester Rogers, who you can deconduct to. He can make the big catches down the sideline. He can make the slants and the out routes and stuff like that. That's what I compare him to, but maybe I'm being like a little bit of a homer there.
I mean, you did just compare Chester Rogers to Antonio Brown. So I don't know.
Yes,
I missed the last part that you said because I was too busy trying to pick up the pieces of my mind that's exploded across the room because of that extremely bold take, but I love it. Chester Rogers, Antonio Brown. Could it be the next – Antonio Brown took a couple years to break out. You know, Chester Rogers.
Yeah.
I mean, if he has a big year, I know exactly who I'm going to give the credit to. So – all right, Dylan, thank you for hopping on the show today, you know, talking some Colts. The Patriots and Colts, do they play each other this year?
You know, to be quite honest with you, I've been a bad Colts fan and I have not looked at the entire roster.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the entire schedule for this season. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure the Patriots will find some kind of ball that's deflated and use it in the game and win.
Yeah, because that's the reason why they won, not because they were already winning by like 35 points, and they did better in the second half when the balls were fine. But you know, whatever. I mean, that's
that,
you know, it's water under the bridge.
Yeah.
But all right, perfect. So, any final thoughts on the Colts? Give me a bold prediction, you know, about the Colts, you know, some type of fantasy prediction about the Colts, you know, about a player, about the team, you know, give me something hot.
Okay. I won't talk about Luck because that'd be too easy to do. Let's say Marlon Mack finishes, as RB12.
RB12. So RB1. All right. I can dig it. I mean, you could argue, you know, in terms of the running backs that Luck has played with through his career, I mean, Mack might have, like, the most upside. You know, Frank Gore was there for a while, and, I mean, he was always kind of like, you know, the consistent guy. Thinking back, they had Vic Ballard was a guy, like, that had a big year when he was – I think it was his rookie season. It might have been Luck's rookie season. And then they had Trent Richardson for, you know, a couple seasons. But, I mean, outside of Mac, I mean, was there really any other? Am I missing any running backs that Pluck has played with?
None that really mean anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Trent Richardson, you know, it could have been a thing. I remember when they made that trade for Trent Richardson. I remember somebody tweeted, is like, man, it's going to be crazy seeing Luck, T.Y., and Trent Richardson to be that, like, trio. And, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Trent's a train wreck. He just, you know, we'll see, like, around here, you know, we're always looking for the next Peyton Manning, Edgerrin James, and Marvin Harrison. So, but who knows, maybe Luck, T.Y., and Mac's going to be that new little trio.
Hey, I mean, you hit on at least the quarterback. I mean, you guys, I mean, Luck, when he's healthy, he's, you know, it's hard to really say anyone else is better than him. I mean, he's in the class with, I would put him with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Like, he's that good. And just about putting the pieces around him, which, unfortunately, the general management hasn't, you know, I don't think they've done their due diligence. And it finally took them, like, it literally took them a year of losing Andrew Luck to finally address the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm so happy about that pick. That excited me as a Colts fan, because we all know
to not
Peyton Manning
to not go wide receiver number one overall.
We don't need any more wide receivers. We're good in that department, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I know, but I know you guys are still, you know, you're still hurting after trading Dorsett to the Patriots. I know that, you know, you guys are missing him really. I know he's a big impact player, so. It's not like the Patriots could use Jacoby Brissett, you know, a backup quarterback, considering our quarterback's 41 years old. But, you know.
Or, you know, maybe Jimmy G.
Yeah, that's, again, another podcast. That's a conversation for another podcast. But, yeah. All right, Dylan. Well, you know, give a shout-out to, you know, where people can find you. You know, anything that you do with fantasy, you know, give them your Twitter handle, anywhere they can find you.
I'm on Twitter at Brody Dylan, BrodyDylan. You can also find me on Twitter under D1 Fantasy. I write for CleatGeeks.com and SportsTalkLine.com. So those are my, you can read my articles on those two websites. You can find me on Twitter at Brody at Dylan.
Cool,
at Brody Dylan.
Cool, Dylan Brody. And then I guess lastly, I mean, Cleat Geeks, a couple of the other sites you write for. Are you working on anything right now? Any particular pieces?
I actually have a piece that's been semi-popular. Cleat Geeks coined it as a new way to draft. I coin it as cogs, playmakers, and toss-ups. I have two articles out about it. I have an introduction to it. And then today, my more in-depth article came out about it, and I went through the first seven rounds of a dynasty draft that I'm in right now, where I used this, I guess you call it strategy or a philosophy. And people seem to like it. I haven't got a whole lot of bad criticism on it yet, so maybe I'm doing something right there. But those two articles are up at CleatGeeks.com. Maybe I can, you know, provide like a link to you or something. It's all over my page on Twitter as well.
Yeah, we'll get that out. Get the people reading. Get those cogs. You know, people gotta know what they're doing. The draft's coming up. People gotta know what they're doing. It's coming up. I know. I have way too many drafts this weekend, but it's fun. This is the most exciting fun. That's the most exciting time of the year is draft time, draft season. You know, you got draft season in September or August, and then September, you got, you know, pumpkin spice lattes, you know, pumpkin spice season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, September means football, and it's coming up quick, and it's going to be good. It's going to be fun.
I sure hope so for our sake here in Colts country.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, that's why we have fantasy teams. So No matter what, no matter your team is, there's always a way to win. You just, you know, just make a lineup.
And I do want to say this. One of my quarterbacks in on my dynasty team is Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's right. Still, you know, you may hate him, but you got
to
admit,
hate him, but you got to.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, Dylan. Well, we're going to let you go here. And once again, you guys, thanks for listening. This is the Full Press Coverage Fantasy Football Podcast with your host, Andrew Erickson. Follow me on Twitter at @AndrewErickson_. And we will be back again sometime this week. I don't know. I have a weird schedule. But we'll be back with another team, you know, reviewing, you know, as I continue my 32 days and 32 teams and 32 days. Losing track. 32 teams and 32 days segments before the kickoff of the NFL season. So long, everybody.
And does it matter to you? Do you care that the fans want to know more about this?
I'm focused on doing the best that I can for the 2018 New England Patriots. That's my job. That's what I'm going to do.
And
that's what I've always done in the past.
Right.
Every day that I've coached here, I've done the best that I can.